Now someone says, why do I have to trust Jesus to be saved and to get into that kingdom? And I want you to listen very carefully, because Jesus did have a very exclusive claim. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. It's not through a church. It's through a person. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Hello, this is Pastor Paul Chappell on the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. And I want to thank you for joining us for today's podcast. It's my prayer that the Bible teaching and preaching you are about to hear will be a blessing to you in your Christian walk. And that because of your time in the Word of God today, you will draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Our senior class from Lancaster Baptist School visited Washington, D.C. a few weeks ago. And as they came back to the campus, several of them were saying, Pastor, we enjoyed seeing our Christian history, and on some of the buildings we saw scriptures and references to God, and we learned a lot about the history of our country. And that is certainly the case. The Capitol building has many references to God. The Senate chamber has the words, In God We Trust. Thank God, in fact, our city council recently here in Lancaster put the same words behind the city desk. The Capitol prayer room has the words inside of the prayer room, Psalm 16:1, Preserve me, O God, in thee do I put my trust. In the Library of Congress, there is the verse on the wall, John 1:5, The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. I've seen in the Rayburn Building the words, where there is no vision, the people perish. And throughout our nation's capital, our Christian history is very evident as we observe the writing on the walls. How Samuel Adams wrote in 1772 these words, The right to freedom being the gift of the Almighty, the rights of the colonist as Christians may be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institution of the great lawgiver and the head of the Christian church, which are to be clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament. He was saying, if you want to learn more about this country, then learn about the Word of God and learn from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, America is certainly changing today. And we see that everywhere. We have this Tuesday, our state Supreme Court, once again trying to decide what constitutes a marriage and the validity of Proposition 8. I wish somebody on that bench would just open the Bible. It's very easy to understand. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, and God Himself brought them together in marriage. Very easy to understand, but it has to be reconsidered again. We heard earlier about the cross being taken off of our county seal. And on and on, we hear about the changes in our nation for so-called tolerance. All the while, the Bible is not being tolerated any longer. All the while, Christians with faith in the Bible are not being tolerated, as we hear the preaching and teaching about tolerance. Well, America is changing. And yet this morning, as proud as we are of America, as great as we are thankful today for our freedom in America, the fact of the matter is that if you are a Christian, you have citizenship in a kingdom that is not of this world. And that kingdom is the kingdom of our Lord. And I thank God for that. We're going to learn today about our citizenship in heaven. You know, my grandmother, a few weeks ago when I was at her birthday party, she had a time when she wanted to sing some songs. And the song she wanted to sing, by the way, when you're 90, you can write the script for your own birthday party, right? And she told us how we were going to celebrate it. And she wanted to sing her favorite song, which was, I've Got a Mansion Over the Hilltop. She wanted to sing about heaven. She had lots of songs about heaven that she wanted to hear. And you know, the fact is that you all will come to a point, all of us get to a place at one time or another where we realize we thank God for America, we thank God for our home, our car, and all of these things, but this is all very temporal. And we need to make sure that we know we're a part of the eternal kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to learn about today, the hope that we have in our eternal kingdom. You see, the fact is today that kingdoms in this world are up and down. But God's word never fails, and God's kingdom is eternal. So let's learn about it this morning. Notice in your notes, first of all, the announcement of his kingdom. The announcement of the kingdom. Now, we first begin to learn in the Bible about this concept of the kingdom as God's prophets came and gave the message concerning the kingdom to the house of David. And we see the announcement made to the house of David. And in 2 Samuel 7, in verse 12, the Bible says, "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 16 says, "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Now, this covenant was given to David. We refer to it as the Davidic covenant. God said, "David, I'm going to make your kingdom an everlasting kingdom. And I'm going to allow your kingdom to be the kingdom from which the Messiah will come and rule and reign over this world." And we see many things about this kingdom. David's kingdom would be established. The temple would be built under his son Solomon. And this kingdom was to be an eternal kingdom. And God's mercy would not depart from his kingdom. And we read that in Psalm 89 and verse 34. "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. For his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me." And so God established David's kingdom and said this will be a kingdom that will last forever. We read more about that kingdom in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. Some of you might remember these words. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now we see the promise given that a son would be given, a child would be born. His name would be called Wonderful Counselor, and of the increase of his government there would be no end. And so this one that would be prophesied, this one that would be born, this king would continue on the promise that was given to David that his kingdom would last forever. That was the promise given to the children of Israel by way of David, their king. The promise of the kingdom was given to David. But then it was given not only to David and for the Jewish people, but this kingdom is something that is now available for all people to have citizenship in. Every single one of us can have a citizenship in God's kingdom. And we see that it is given to the hearts of all people. And I want you to hear some of the prophecies about this kingdom. It was a prophecy made, first of all, of Gabriel. Gabriel came and spoke to the Virgin Mary, and this is what Gabriel said. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father," what's the next name say? David. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be" what? "No end." All right? And so we hear about the kingdom in the Davidic covenant, but David died and Solomon died, and the nation of Israel was dispersed, and trials came into their midst. But now we hear God speaking once again about the kingdom, and it's now coming through Gabriel to Mary, and it is said that Jesus Christ will be called the Son of the Highest, because Jesus Christ is God, and Jesus Christ will come down as the Son of the Highest according to the prophecy of Gabriel to Mary. Then we hear this same truth from a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist spoke of it in Matthew 3 and verse 1. "And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And here we see him speaking again about the coming of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was an intertestament prophet between the Old and New Testaments, and he was crying out, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so Gabriel spoke of it, and then John the Baptist spoke of it. And now then we come to the text this morning, Matthew 4:17, and we hear Jesus saying these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It is as if Jesus is saying, "I am here." He doesn't say it's coming. It is at hand. I am here. That which was told to David, and that which the children of Israel looked for, and that which Gabriel spoke to Mary and John the Baptist has been telling you about, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, the kingdom of heaven is the literal earthly kingdom that was promised to David. And then we have also the eternal kingdom, or the kingdom of God, that all of us will be a part of who are the saved. And here we see that God has promised a kingdom, and all of us can hear the announcement of that kingdom through the Word of God. And Jesus Christ taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And so he says, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The announcement of the kingdom is seen throughout the scriptures, all the way into the book of the Revelation. Now then, if there is a kingdom that is not of this world, and it is of everlasting connotation, and Jesus Christ is the King. He is the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Mighty God. He's the ruler of that kingdom. And if the kingdoms of this world are up and down, conservative and liberal, strong and weak, and fluctuating all the time, then how can we know that we are a part of God's eternal kingdom? How can we have that eternal hope that when this life is over and we leave this planet and this country, whether it's strong or weak at the time, only God knows, but how can we know that when we leave this country, we will enter into the kingdom of God and we will be there for all of eternity? How can that be known? Well, let's talk about that for a moment. Let's notice the admission into the kingdom of God. The admission into the kingdom of God. Now, the Davidic kingdom speaks in the Bible of David's kingdom that will be literally established on the earth, but the subject of the eternal kingdom is now what we of that which we speak of this morning. And how do we enter that eternal kingdom? Notice, first of all, it is through the new birth. It is through the new birth. Now, turn in your Bible to John chapter 3. Let's look there this morning. John chapter 3, and I want you to see what Jesus says about getting into his kingdom. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1, we see a very familiar story. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Now, let's get the picture in our mind. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was an educated, religious man, but he was not saved. And you can have religion, but not be saved. And he came to Jesus inquiring. He saw something in Jesus that he did not possess. And he said to him, "I know you're a teacher come from God. No one can do what you do except God be with him." And Jesus said to him in verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the," what does it say? "Kingdom of God." Nicodemus, you are religious, but you're not a part of my kingdom. And the way to become a part of the kingdom is to be born again, to be born spiritually. In fact, notice there, it says in verse 5, "I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again." And so it is through the new birth that we enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. But we must enter that kingdom by being born into the kingdom. Now, you were born into a family. You're here this morning. Pinch yourself. Make sure you're alive and well. You're here physically. You were born physically. but now we're to be born spiritually into God's family or into the kingdom of God. And that is not done by our works. It is done by putting our faith in Jesus Christ and trusting Him as our personal Savior. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost." And so it is not by our works, it is by His grace. And so it is through the new birth that we have entrance into the kingdom. Secondly, it is because of the shed blood that we have entrance into the kingdom. Now someone says, "Why do I have to trust Jesus to be saved and to get into that kingdom?" And I want you to listen very carefully, because Jesus did have a very exclusive claim. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." It's not through a church, it's through a person, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He shed His blood on the cross to cover our sin. Now, in the Old Testament times, whenever they would come to the temple or the tabernacle for their atonement, they would bring the sacrifice of a little lamb or a goat. They would shed the blood of that lamb, and then they would place the lamb on the brazen altar for their atoning for their sin. It was an offering that they would make. And many thousands of lambs had the blood shed, and that was the atonement required in the Old Testament for their sin. Well, the New Testament brought in something else, and that was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that man, John the Baptist, preaching on the banks of the Jordan River, looked up one day and finally saw Jesus Christ, and he said to all of his followers, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Now, why did John the Baptist call Jesus the Lamb of God? It is because Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, would die on the cross and once and for all shed His blood for all of the sins that would ever be committed in this world. And the Lamb of God shed His blood to be the covering for the sins of the entire world. Now look at John chapter 3 and verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so admission into the kingdom comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross for our sin. We are saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We are not saved because we have a church membership, or because we did some good deed, or we gave money to the March of Dimes. We are saved because Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross for our sin, and we have received Him as our personal Savior. During World War II, there was a young paratrooper by the name of David Webster. He was in the 101st Airborne Division, and he had a mother who was quite worried for him. And David Webster wrote his mom this letter. He said, "Dear mother, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I shall die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice." How many of you on this Memorial Day thank God for those who paid a sacrifice so we can have the precious privilege of worshiping this morning? And those things that are precious are paid for by sacrifice. Well, there is nothing more precious than being saved. There is nothing more precious than having a relationship with God. And that is available to us today because of the sacrifice of the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ shed His blood that we might have the forgiveness of sins. Now, please remember, the blood that was shed was pure and holy. This blood that was shed was the very blood of God. Look in your notes, please, at Acts 20:28. It says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." This is speaking to the pastors at Ephesus. But look at the last part of the verse. "To feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood." Now think about that. God has purchased us. He has redeemed us with His own blood. Now, how does that happen? Well, the Virgin Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost. And the bloodline that was in the body of Jesus Christ then was not from a human father where we received our bloodline. The bloodline was from the Holy Ghost. Hence, he was called the Son of God. And when he shed his blood, it was not the blood of the human race that was shed. It was the blood from heaven, for he was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And I say to you this morning that without the shedding of that blood, there's no remission for our sins. And so we would be foolish to trust in a church or in an organization or even in ourselves when the only sacrifice that could be made was already made by the Lord Jesus Christ when he shed his blood on Calvary. And so we hear the announcement in the Bible. There is a kingdom. It's an eternal kingdom. And this announcement is made by Samuel. This announcement is made to David. This announcement is made by the angel Gabriel. It is made by John the Baptist. It is even made by Jesus Christ himself. There is no doubt that there is something called the kingdom of God and that it is an eternal kingdom. But how do you get into that kingdom? Jesus said, you must be born again. You must put your faith in me to enter into the kingdom. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And then we see finally this morning the advancement of the kingdom. The advancement of the kingdom. Now, how is this kingdom advanced? And I understand we're not bringing in the kingdom. That will happen literally when Jesus himself comes again. And we thank God for that. We are premillennial in our doctrine. We believe that Jesus Christ will come and then he will establish his kingdom reign. But the fact of the matter is that even now we can have part inviting people to trust Christ as Savior and to become a part of his eternal kingdom. And so how is this kingdom advanced? And I believe many people here this morning would say, I would like God's kingdom to advance and the work of God to be stronger in these last days before he comes again. How does that happen? First of all, it happens by an evangelistic people or through an evangelistic people, people who are not ashamed of Jesus Christ. People who share the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to witness for Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. God says, I want you to take what you know about the gospel and tell someone else. Give them a gospel brochure. Let them know that they too can be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, there are some people who would like us to keep our faith right here in these walls. They would like us to keep it here, kind of like a secret little thing, without ever taking it outside to anyone else. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia recently wrote, "Church and state would not be such a difficult subject if religion were, as the court apparently thinks it to be, some purely personal avocation that can be indulged entirely in secret." Increasingly, the courts are saying, you can express views about God, just don't do it outside the walls of the church. Well, let me tell you something about our faith. It has been designed to take outside the walls of the church. In fact, we are commanded to take it outside the walls of the church. And so we are to be an evangelistic people, telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, witnessing concerning his coming and his kingdom. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. In the Bible, people were always baptized after they got saved, after they believed about the kingdom of God and received Christ as their Savior. They were baptized. And this was because of the witness of the church telling everyone that they needed to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. Acts chapter 8 says the church at Jerusalem went everywhere preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the kingdom is advanced by an evangelistic people. May we never cower. May we never be afraid to tell someone, I believe Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The ACLU attorneys are not afraid to tell us to take the cross out of the seal. And there's an entire agenda in this country today that's not afraid to try and redefine marriage, not afraid to take the name of God out of public society, the Ten Commandments out of the public schools. We need some Christians who are not afraid to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. who will stand up for Jesus Christ. And so it happens with an evangelistic people. Notice secondly, it happens with an expectant people. Now this kingdom is advanced when we live our lives expecting the King to come. It's only logical, my friend, if there is a kingdom that is eternal, there is a King that is eternal, and His name is Jesus Christ. And He is coming again. And we must be expectant of this great event. We're to be looking for our King. There are many verses. I'll share a few with you this morning. Titus 2:13 says it this way. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you catch the phrase? The glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the trump of God will sound, the dead in Christ will rise first, we which are alive and remain will join them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It is called the rapture, the catching away of the believers, and God says there is coming a day when we will see the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must live with that coming in mind. David Livingston was a great missionary to Africa. David Livingston took the gospel of Jesus from tribe to tribe and village to village. He is buried in Westminster Abbey, but his heart is buried in Africa, where he did his great missionary work. David Livingston said, "I place no value on anything I have or may possess, except in relation to the kingdom of God. If anything will advance the interest of the kingdom, it shall be given away or kept. Only as by giving or keeping it, I shall most promote the glory of Him to whom I owe all my hopes in time or eternity." In other words, David Livingston said, "I'm living my whole life with His kingdom in mind. If I can give something to help the kingdom, I'll give it. If I can keep something and use it for kingdom work, I'll keep it. But it's all for His kingdom, and it's all for His glory." And we need to be looking for our King and living for His kingdom while we are here on this earth. We need to keep the eternal things in mind while we are here on this earth. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you into His kingdom and glory. And the Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, that we are to seek those things which are above. I believe today we need to be expecting Jesus to come, and we need to be living with His kingdom in mind and helping others to know about Him. And when you live with Jesus coming in mind, it changes the way you live. If Jesus were to come today, you don't want to be angry at your spouse. You don't want to be in a bar somewhere when Jesus comes. I mean, when you think about it, When Jesus Christ comes, you want to be ready. We had my wife's family over last night for dinner. And I noticed yesterday morning, my wife was cleaning the house and cooking food. And she was getting ready for company. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. Are you ready for that day when Jesus comes again? And when you think of it that way, it causes you to live expectantly and differently for the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that Lancaster Baptist Church has an eternal perspective in mind. We know that all these buildings and this campus is simply, it's a tool to help us in preparing others for eternity. We had our high school graduation Friday night in this auditorium, and what a blessing it was to see our 33 graduates come across the platform, and they're saved, and they know much of the Scriptures. They got a lot to learn, but they've been grounded, and they know how to witness for Christ, and they want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friend, that lasts for eternity. I think of yesterday, the wedding we performed in the North Auditorium for one of our deacon sons who was married yesterday there, Edwin Aguirre, and how he was raised up in this church and school and graduated from the college, and he and his wife going into full-time ministry, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, kingdom work is eternal work, and when we invest in the gospel work and when we tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ, it has an eternal dividend, and we thank God for it. Now, sometimes people may not notice everything you do. They may not notice all the ways that you try to serve the Lord and help others. But my friend, God sees every bit of it. In Washington, D.C., there is the National Cemetery where we saw a moment ago the slide of the tomb to the unknown soldier. And on the tomb to the unknown soldier is the inscription that says, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." An American soldier known but to God. Well, I've got to tell you something. There are a lot of soldiers in God's kingdom that are known but to Him. Somebody may not have noticed what you did or what you gave or how you helped, but God sees it all, and we need to live expectantly in a kingdom lifestyle, living for the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. Well, the announcement of the kingdom is sure. There is a kingdom that is eternal, and the entry into that kingdom is made available by the new birth, trusting Christ as our Savior. And once we're saved, we want to live our lives for the advancement of that kingdom so that others know Christ, and helping our missionaries to get around the world and doing all we can to advance the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, are you a part of God's kingdom? Have you been saved? Do you know for sure that you're born again and on your way to heaven? Is that something that's settled in your heart and mind, that you're a part of the kingdom of God? I wonder this morning, do you know that in your heart? And if you are a part of the kingdom of God, let me ask you this. What are you doing to advance the kingdom of God? Are you involved in evangelism? And are you helping the local church to go forward? And are you standing up for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you thankful that you're a part of God's kingdom today? May we leave this place knowing that we're a part of the kingdom of God, and may we leave this place living for the kingdom of God. Our country may be strong, may be weak, may stand for the things of God, may turn away from the things of God, but we're not living just for this country. We're living for a kingdom to come, and our King is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for taking time to join us for today's podcast. I trust your heart has been encouraged and challenged from the Word of God. If you have further questions about the Word of God or today's lesson, feel free to contact me at lancasterbaptist.org. Also, if you're not already receiving our daily devotional, log on to dailyintheword.org and subscribe today for a daily devotional that will come right to your desk, a word of encouragement from God's Word that will help you each and every day. And finally, if you're looking for more resources, Bible study tools, or books that will help you in the Christian life, you might visit strivingtogether.com. Striving Together publications exist to help you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you again for your hunger for the Word of God. May God richly bless you.